Rosh Chodesh. Not just Rosh Chodesh, every Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And we're entering into the Kedusha of this time of the year, the Kedusha of Yontif. And there's something that I want to talk about, that there are many things about Pesach, since Pesach is the beginning. But what's the beginning of the beginning? The first siman in Shulchan Aruch that deals with the laws of Pesach is dealing with the custom of maos chitim, of providing the poor, lo aleinu, with money that they need. It used to be that they would be given that money directly for the purchase of the wheat, of the grain that was necessary to buy masses. And now it's more the needs for Pesach in general. And that's how Hilchas Pesach begins. Maos chitim, providing for the poor. And it's not only that. Once we come to Leil Pesach, when we come to the night of Pesach, by the Haggadah, after we say Kiddush, which is a din, of course, by every Yontif, the beginning of Pesach is with the words Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya. This is the bread. This is the bread of poverty. And we invite everybody, Kol Dichvin, Yesev Yechu, Kol Ditzuch, Yesev Yisach. We invite the poor to come and to eat together with us. So we know from the tzaddikim of Tzaddik, Milublin, and other tzaddikim, that one has to look at the beginning in order to understand the hemshech, continuation of anything and what it really is. You have to look at its shayrish at the beginning. So since we see that at the root of the Yontif of Pesach lies this concern for the poor and providing for the poor, both in the halachas of preparing for Yontif and in the actual Seder of Leil Pesach of the night with the Haggadah, it must be that somehow that connects to the very root, to the shayrish of Pesach Bechlal in general. And we need to understand why. If you look at the page, look at the bottom. It should be familiar. The bottom, on the bottom you have there from the Rambam in Hilchos Yontif in the sixth parak, where we find that there's a halacha that applies to all Yom Tovim. It's not just regarding Pesach. Where the Rambam begins in halacha Yud Zayin, Shivas Yimei HaPesach, Ushmanas Yimei HaChag, Imshar Yom Tovim. Kulam Asurim Behesped V'tanis. There's laws for Pesach and all the Yom Tovim that you're not allowed to eulogize at the fast. Chavarim Liyos Ben Sameach V'Tov Leiv. A person is obligated to do his best, to rejoice, to be happy. Hu Ubanav V'Yishtov Mebeisa, with his wife and his kids. And everybody who was there with him as guests. That's a halacha in all yontifs. The samachta b'chagecha, to rejoice. Afal pisha simcha amura karban shlamim. Even though, strictly speaking, the pasuk is referring to the karbanis that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash. K'mor shalom mevarim b'hilchos chagig. Yesh b'chlal eisa simcha l'smachu ubanu v'nei beisa kol echad v'echad karoi lo. It's crossed out a few words. Anyway, that's a mitzvah by every yontif. And then the Rambam continues, Keitzad aktanim, leislehem klois, regozim, magdonis, that will not work nowadays. It means with the little ones, you give them some nuts and some candies and things, some sweets. They're looking more for iPods and cars. But in the old days, you give them a couple of walnuts and some candies, that'd be fine. Banashim, kanlehem, tachshit, and you buy them, that still might work. To buy them jewelry and so on. And the men like to have some good meals, some meat and some wine. It was crossed out a little bit. This is the important part. It's all important, but this was not geir to us. That when you're eating and you're drinking, don't forget, you have to make sure not to just eat for yourself and to provide for yourself. You have to see to it, especially for the geirim, for the yisayim lo'aleinu, orphans, the almana, a widow, imshar ha'aniyim ha'umlalim, and all those who cannot provide for themselves, you must make sure to take care of them. Avol mishen noel dalsos chatzero, whoever locks the door of his courtyard, of his house, va'archel v'shoysehu ubanav v'ishto, and he's enjoying the yontiv, whatever yontiv that is, he's enjoying, he's eating and drinking with his family. He doesn't give food and drink to the poor, ulamari nefesh, the downtrodden, the yisayimim, the almanas. Ein zu simchas mitzvah, it's missing the word, ein zu simchas mitzvah, then you should know that even though you're enjoying yourself, on you're enjoying by eating for your own family, with your own family on Yontif, you should know that that's not called simchas mitzvah, that's not the joy of a mitzvah, ela simchas kreiso, it's called the simcha of one's own belly. Kreiso means your stomach. It's not the simchas mitzvah, it's the simcha of your stomach, that you're having a good meal for Yontif. And the Rambam goes on, v'leilu nema zivcheyem kelechem einim lehem, kol orch lev yitamu, that this bread that you're eating, that you're enjoying this meal, is really impure. The only eating, the only simcha that's a simcha shal mitzvah is when you provide for the poor. And they're invited to take part. And if you're not able to have at your yontif meal, then at least to make sure that they're able to have a yontif meal by helping them with the money that they need for yontif. So what's clear is that this mitzvah of making sure that the poor are able to have a yontif, that's not only by Pesach, that's by every yontif. As the Rambam says, that's by Sukkot, that's by Rosh Hashanah, that's by Shavuos, that's by every yontif to make sure. So, afal pichein, nevertheless, there's something different about Pesach. By Pesach, we have this special, unique din of Moshe Chitim, which was actually a tax in the old days. When Jews belonged to kehilas, they were taxed by the community. Every single person was taxed. My father has told me about this, that he remembers that before the war, where he lived, there was a tax dependent upon the ability of each family to pay for the matzahs and the other needs, not to be only concerned with themselves, but there was a tax that the kehila, the kohal, enforced you to pay, and it was actually, thank you, it was actually even the local government offices made sure that Jews paid their taxes to the kehila, for the matzis and for the abrakaisis. This is something which is uniquely Pesachdik. We don't have by any other yontif, even though all the yontif there's a din of simcha, which as we just learned means to misameach the poor. It must be that there's something unique regarding Pesach that defines the nature of the yontif. That's what I want to explain, to talk about. So, when you look in the Mishnah Berurah over there at the beginning of Chos Pesach and Tav Chav Tes, there in the Shaar HaTzion, the Chafetz Chaim talks about this. What is it that's different about Pesach? Why is there a special din? The most practical explanation the Chafetz Chaim gives is that Pesach is more expensive than any of the yontif. I think that we all knew that on our own. Pesach is more expensive. And the needs of Pesach are very great. So that's a practical explanation. The Chofetz Chaim also says, less practical but more symbolic, the Chofetz Chaim writes over there, how is it possible for a Jew to sit on Pesach night feeling that he's a free man, that's the mitzvah of Pesach night, to be in a way of cheirus, and to be like Bnei Melachim, which brought down the poskim to even put out the nicest silver, the covered Pesach, will cover the yontiv. How could you sit like that, enjoying your own cheres, when there are people who are impoverished, who aren't able to afford a matzah and the abakaisis, aleph and beis? If you think about how much more pain that causes the poor people, knowing that they're stuck in their situation, while their next door neighbor is sitting with his finest silver, and with his family enjoying a delicious meal. So these are two reasons that the Chofetz Chaim brings down in the Shaar HaTzion. The Shevet Musar explains, also in a very simple and clear way, that the whole meaning of Pesach is to remember that we were slaves, and as slaves we suffered under miserable conditions, and Hashem Shbach took us out of Mitzrayim, and as a result of that we were zoiche to not only gain our freedom, but vayetzu berchush gadol. We basically were able to acquire a tremendous amount of wealth when we left Mitzrayim. So the Shevet Musa says, we begin the Seder with Halach Ma'anya, this is the bread to remember that we were poor in Mitzrayim, and just like Hashem had Rachmanis, and took us from being poor people, and He took us out of our matziv of poverty, and He gave us the wealth of Yitzias Mitzrayim, so Hashem had Rachmanis on us, and so too, there's a special inyan by Pesach, to have rachmanis on the poor. We were poor. Hashem took us out of that matzav of poverty. and we have to do the same thing for others. That's the Shevet Musar. Let's go another step. The Tur Shulchan Aruch, brings from his brother, Rav Yehuda, that Pesach corresponds to Avraham Avinu. Each of the Yom Tovim, or the Regalim, corresponds to one of the others. Pesach is Avraham Avinu, Shavuos is Yitzchak Avinu, and Sukkot is Yaakov Avinu. So the brother of the Tur, Rav Yehuda, explains that Pesach is connected to Avraham Avinu. It says Beferish in the Pasuk, Lushi Va'asi Ugos, by Sari Meina, by the meal that Sari Meina prepared, it says that Avraham Avinu told her, Lushi Va'asi Ugos, Ugos meaning round matzes, Asi Ugos, and Chazal say, Pesach Hayah, that was Pesach. It was actually Pesach. So the Yontiv of Pesach is Avraham Avinu's Yontiv. We understand. There's a unique connection between Avraham Avinu and the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. Once we know that it's Avraham Avinu's Yontiv, then the call to the poor to come to join us by Halach Manya called Dichvin Yesev Yechol, called Ditzvich Yesev Yitzchak, it's not strange at all. It's not unusual at all. It's Avraham Avinu's Yontiv. The whole Indian of Avraham Avinu was what? Was kindness, was chesed. Avraham Avinu was the beginning of our people. The Jewish people are the Am Avraham. We became Am Avraham, the nation of Avraham, Pesach. That's when we became the Jewish people on Pesach, on Avraham Avinu's Yontiv. Avraham Avinu in the Torah, even though there are many, many things that Avraham Avinu was doing, and Avraham Avinu just fought against idolatry, and Avraham Avinu was thrown into the furnace because of his beliefs. The Alter from Slobodka points out that none of those things are described actually in Chumash. We have a Masorah in the Torah Sheval Peh, in the Medrash, and from the Gemara, that Avraham Avinu was doing a lot of stuff. But the only thing that the Torah really focuses on is on the chesed of Avraham, his kindness. The Eishel Avraham, where he welcomed people, the fact that he took care of Orchim, of people, of Shlepers, who turned out to be Malachim, but he took care of guests. The Torah goes into all of that at great length. It's all that the Torah really talks about regarding Avraham Avinu, is his kindness. And the Alter from Slobodka explains the reason is very clear. Olam Chesed Yebaneh, the creation of the world comes from the Midas of Chesed, Hashem, on the most basic level we've been taught, the Ramchal and others explain to us, and Chazal tell us, that the nature of good is to do good. Hashem is infinite kindness. Therefore, all of creation was the greatest, most altruistic act of kindness that could ever take place, was creation itself. And because of that, Avraham Avinu was the beginning of our people. He's called by Chazal the Reish Lamaminim, the first person who had the true faith in Hashem. That true faith in Hashem dictates, it means that you believe that the creator of the world created this world as an act, as the ultimate act of kindness. It therefore follows that on the night of Pesach, which is the night of the creation of Am Avraham, of the Jewish people, the children of Avraham, it makes perfect sense that the greatest way to demonstrate that we are believers in the God of Avraham, the creator of the world, that the way that we demonstrate that is by opening our doors up to others and saying, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol. All those who are in need should come and eat. Therefore, the halachas of Pesach begin with providing for the poor. When one believes completely in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is dovek to Hashem and is attached to Hashem, it means that you want to be a Baal Chesed like Hashem. We can't be, we're finite, but Hashem showed us with creation his kindness, and on the night of the creation of Am Yisrael, the children of Avraham want to show kindness to others. That's clear according to the Torah. All of this prepares us to learning what I really wanted to focus on today. All of this is by a way of a Hagadama to the pnimius of what's happening. Because the big question that everybody has, about the Halach Ma'anya, all that we said explains the Halach Ma'anya and why there's a special inyan of taking care of the poor for Pesach. But the obvious question by Halach Ma'anya that's brought down in all the Mefarshim is, really, what good does that do? And I'm already standing by the Seder, right? All the Mefarshim ask this. Everybody's already at home. they're in the house. The Korban Pesach, he knows it didn't. It's Ein Necha El Lemnuyov. That means that everybody was designated ready to eat by that Korban Pesach. Everybody's already in the house. The door is closed, even though the meaning is to leave it unlocked, and we open it up later on, Shalianavi. But by the time you're beginning to say there, all the invitations have already taken place. Whoever's supposed to be there is there. So what's the tachlis of a person sitting in his house and saying halach ma'anya, if there are any Jews that still have Pesach at home? What's the tachlis of saying halach ma'anya when you're at home? And what kind of invitation are you extending to any poor person by saying halach ma'anya? And all the mefarshim talk about that and have different ways of addressing that. There's a magnificent piece. We can't do the entire thing. I cut out some of it because there's nariches. In Rav Kook's Siddur, which is also printed in Rav Kook's Haggadah, there's a magnificent, it's in the part of the Siddur that is the Haggadah, and it's printed separately in the Haggadah they made from Rav Kook. There's a magnificent piece on Halach Ma'anya, and I wanted to learn this together. Now, keep in mind, those of you who are familiar with Rav Kook, you know that it's almost impossible to translate accurately. I'm not going to try to do that. If there was time, I would sit on each word. We don't have time for that. So I'm going to try to give a free running translation. To the best of my knowledge, this has not been translated in English, and my translation is not authoritative at all. But I hope that we'll be able to get the idea of what the Tzaddik is talking about, which will tie together all that we were learning until now about the special inyan of Hachnasas Orchim Halach Ma'anya and the poor for Pesach, but to also help us understand what's the tachlis of what we're doing by the Seder, and the whole yuntiv of Pesach, what Pesach is really about, and why is it all so deeply connected to this inyan of taking care of the poor. So let's look inside. Shnei drachim yeshnam l'salusay v'ramimuso shel koyach chayim ma'asi. There are two paths, there are two ways for a person to lift up his practical life, the life of this world, two ways of lifting it up. And they're going to seem like opposites. To bring out a healthy and good life, l'maisa, there are two ways. Haderech ha'echad hu ha'harvacha. One is harvacha. Harvacha means when things are great. When things are great. Harvach literally means when it's open and flowing and things are going in a good way. When the sinus achoyfish l'merutzoso, when one gives freedom to his best thoughts, his best feelings, you give freedom to those thoughts and feelings. They're flowing from you to others and to the world. V'shetev, like a stream, like a current, zarmo. L'man yelech v'yigdal. It grows stronger and stronger. Yelech v'yarchiv es hashpa'oso. You're able over time to be mashpia, to influence, and when it comes to tzedakah, to help more and more people. Things are going well. The money is coming. The money's flowing through you to others. Your good feelings, your good intentions, your good thoughts are moving out towards others. And your circle of influence and help grows. So that's terrific. That's on a good day. But life is not always like that. Vasheni, the second way, Vasheni Hagoyrem lo, which is itself a cause for the first derech that we just learned, is just the opposite. Af bishu hafcho is just the opposite, which is what? Hu koach ha'otzer. Koach ha'otzer means when there's something that's davke holding you back. There's an obstruction. You're not able, let's say using tzedakah as the model for what we're talking about now, you're not able to give. You're not able to give. A person, let's say, who his whole life was accustomed to giving. In order to be able to give, Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this, you have to be a free person. A slave obviously doesn't have anything of his own. A slave is only an extension of his owner. Freedom means the ability to give. A person who was free to give, not only was free to give, but he was growing in his giving. He was growing. A great sense of moral correctness, a healthy sense of generosity and giving throughout this person's life enabled him, not only enabled him, he enjoyed the pleasure of being able to give and give and give. We take that same person And I've met people like this. A person who was giving and loved giving all of his life, and then all of a sudden, everything, God forbid, takes a turn in the other direction. He's not only not able to give, but he himself, chas v'shalom, has to receive, has to wait for others to give to him. So now there's a terrible obstruction in his life that's preventing him from carrying out what is the most natural, healthy instinct in a person, in a Jew, which is to give. This is koach ha'otzer. There's something that's in the way. Ha'doichek v'hamoneya, that's pushing, meaning holding him back. He can't give. Sometimes it's an obstacle from outside, that he simply doesn't have the money because of what happened in the market or whatever. He can't do it. Or sometimes, emotionally, within himself, he's lost his confidence or something's wrong and he's just, something's holding him back and he's not able to give. Again, either with money or other things, but he's normally, in his healthy state, he's a very giving person. He has in him this explosive energy of giving that's now being artificially held back because of something that's wrong in the economy or something that's wrong with himself. But there's something artificial that's blocking him from giving and from doing what he would normally give to others and what he would normally do to help others. There's something in the way. And therefore, instead of the expansiveness that he's used to, he's shrinking and he's becoming very, very small. He's stuck in a very small place. And therefore he's not able to carry out his deeper desire and need to give. He's not able to carry it out. Sheyia kolu v'niska. It's imprisoned. The natural giving self is now imprisoned. Sh'oz b'vo ito yosef halachatz akodem. Now when the time comes, and that natural obstruction is removed, Rav Kook explains that it then is able to, when it's released with an explosive force that's much greater than it ever was to begin with. Because it could be that for this last year, for this last 2 years, I remember speaking to a person who was himself responsible for keeping quite a few yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael and other maizdas that he single-handedly was supporting. And all of a sudden, I'd say within a week, he practically lost everything. And he said to me, I'm able to be several everything, even though they came with a lot of bizyainis, a lot of embarrassment and humiliation. But he said, all of those things I could be several, I could tolerate. What hurts me most is the calls that I'm getting from all my places and all my people that I've always given to, and I can't do anything for them. I'm on the receiving end myself. Such a person, when after that period passes where he was not able to give, remember, he's naturally a giver. In his healthy state, it flows from him, mamish, like water. But now there was this dam that was holding him back. Once that breaks, and he gets through that, and Hashem brings him across that obstacle, so then we realize that that time of being held back itself would only facilitate a more explosive level of giving, a greater and more powerful level of giving. That's what he explains. She'oz b'vo ito yosef halachetz akodem, shohaya hepach michuko v'tchunosa. That he was being held back in a way that was the opposite of his nature. And when you're being held back, you could use this with anything in life. If you have a person who likes to talk a lot, and then for whatever reason is unable to talk. Yeah, sometimes a person talks a lot on the phone. And then it comes Shabbos, they can't talk on the phone. Or it's a 3-day Yom Tov, wasn't able to talk to his or her best friend on the phone. So the diburim were being held back. The diburim, the words were being held back. And then when there's chayus, when the person is free, because then not being held back by Shabbos anymore, not to speak on the phone, so then the words flow in an uncontrollable way. This, by the way, is an interesting point that Rafutin makes about the whole night of Pesach, which we also see, Kalamar Belasaper, Harizam Meshubach. On Pesach, there's a lot of talking. Kalamar Belasaper. Rav Hutner explains in a very deep way. He says, Chazal tells us that Tisha Kabim Shalsicha Yodlam, there are ten Kabim of talking that have come to the world, and women have taken nine. So he says that there's a tendency of women, by women, although Nowadays, you see by men, that's a lot of that as well. But the tendency is more by women to talk a lot. So Rav Huttner explains that the years that we were enslaved, the years that we were Hashem's kala, that we were slaves, we were unable to communicate our truest wishes and desires to be close to Hashem. We couldn't daven. According to the Zohar Kodesh, this speech was in a state of galus. Therefore, when you open Sefer Shmos, nobody's talking. It says Vayanch, Vayat, Vayitzako, Vayizako, crashing and screaming. No one's able to talk. Pesach means Pesach. Now the mouth can speak. Paro is the words Ha'oref. Ha'oref means the back, not the mouth. Paro is the letters Pe-Ra. So all Dibur, speaking, was in a state of galus. We couldn't really speak. But we were being held back. Therefore, he says that when we became Hashem's Kala by Pesach night, when we became Hashem's Kala, Lech Dachachar, Azachar, Chesnerach, Ahavus Kulasach, and Hashem took us into the Midbar, where he was Kala, so then all of a sudden, the Klai Yisrael itself became a Kala who wasn't able to speak for a long time. And women have taken 9 Chalakim of speech, therefore on Pesach night, this Kolamar B'lasapar is a Meshumach. There's talking Pesach night. Everything's with talking on Pesach night. Because the nature of a person is that when you're held back from something, there's a build-up, and then when that obstacle is removed, then there's an explosion. So too, Rav Kook explains, we were being held back. But that being held back was only in order that when the time would come for us being free, that all of that natural strength, that energy of giving that was held back would now be freed and would be able to flow into the world in a more powerful way than ever before. And he uses a beautiful mashal. It's not just a mashal. We see with our eyes. It's actually, today is the first day that we feel a little bit spring, right? A little bit. Mitzvah, the rest of the week, they say, is going to be even nicer. So we're beginning to feel it's a little bit Pesach. Until now, the weather is more Chanukah and Purim. Today is the first day we feel a little bit Pesach. So Rav Kook says, Masha ha-chayrev, mechala v'soygir, v'sashpoz, koachat smicha v'agidu. He says, beneath the surface of the earth during the winter is hard, is cold, there's the ice, there's the snow, and it's holding back the natural juices of the earth. The grass, the trees, the plants, the fruits, the vegetables are all imprisoned in the coldness of the earth, of the winter, like being in Mitzrayim. And then Rav Kook says, what happens, this hashpa, this desire of the earth to produce, to give, is being held back. The koach hatzmicha of growing is imprisoned during the winter. Obviously, there are certain places in the world where the winters are different, in Australia, whatever it might be. He says, then when the spring begins, when the warm weather starts, it's not just that a little blade of grass comes. My wife and I always marvel. We have this tree in this big, big tree in the backyard. Baruch Hashem didn't fall. I don't know. It's very old. It didn't fall down. It's very big, and we have this big tree. And one day you go outside, and it's totally bare. And maybe it's my imagination. It seems to me that really, like 2 days later, I walk outside and it's filled with leaves, green, mamish green. There's an explosion of life. Why? Because life was being held back by the winter, by the coldness. And that was an obstruction. It was an unnatural obstruction to the healthy instincts of the earth to give, to produce. So when the winter ends and the warm weather begins, it's not just that a blade of grass comes out. It's like an atomic bomb of life. That's davka because it was held back. You know, the heart works that way. The heart works, it holds it back, and because it holds the blood back, that's when it releases it. I don't know anything about science, but it works in such a way where then it's able for the blood to reach all the extremities. It's another interesting thing that the Svam HaKadoshim point out, that there's a special way that we talk on Pesach night, which is question and answer. Question and answer. And he said, and the Svam HaKadoshim tell us that really, whenever you ask a question, a good teacher doesn't just blurt out the information. When you're in a classroom, especially with children, with adults you could do that, with children that's not the way to teach. You always have to what? Ask a question. Or even better yet, that the children should begin to ask. And you respond to their questions. Because what happens is that when you just give information, the information is not as clear, is not as strong, is not as easily retained as when there's a question. The question means like the winter, it means holding back. That's holding back. when you're speaking to the kids in class, you hold back. And by doing that, it creates a certain amount of energy, right, to know, a desire to know, a curiosity. And then when the answer is there, then the answer is much more exciting. All of life is like that, with question and answer. But especially Pesach night. Again, we don't have the Ben Hevi Yontif, Manishtam. Question, meaning not having. The question is not having. The answer is that there's something much more beautiful than when you didn't have it for a while and you always wanted it and you couldn't have it and now you have it. That's like the spring after the winter. A few weeks into spring, people already don't care. And then when it comes to the warm weather, they're already annoyed that it's too hot and whatever, but the air conditioning. But in the middle of the winter, especially this past winter, we would have appreciated some warm weather. But that's how life is. There's a question, and then there's an answer to the question. There's the not having, and then there's the having. Having after not having is much deeper. It's much richer. It's much stronger. And then what Rav Kook is talking about is being able to give after not being able to give is much stronger. And it only creates a certain tension that will make that act of giving that much more powerful and significant. So Rav Kook explains, Od nosef al zeh mikoach ha-hispartzus, there's the strength of the explosion that comes after something is held back. Shekeneged ha-mu'aka ha-melacheses al si ha-chaim shel ha-yikum. That corresponds to that level of the obstruction that was there, that was creating pressure and tension, holding back the life of the spring, the plants. There's that tension that was created that the earth wants very much to bring the plants out. And we see this in all of life. We see this even more so when it comes to emotions, to feelings. When a person was not able to give, when a person was not able to share feelings, when somebody was living, God forbid, without someone that he or she can really, really share one's feelings with. And then finally the time comes when you can express yourself. Then it's the spring that comes after the winter. Especially there are feelings, ideas, and so on. So each person according to his level, his madrega. Just like it is with the life of an individual, that's true. Kain hadugma nimseis b'shalmusa b'chai haklal. So it is with our people, as with the nation as a whole. U'b'chai ha'umma hakolelis es hatzivyon shaklolus haruchonis fakdusha shaklal ha'odim. Atan kriyim odim. And especially when it comes to this one particular nation, the Jewish nation, which is called the embodiment of Adam, of all that man can do. Everything that could be with a human being is embodied in the Jewish people. We have within us. Am Hashem, the nation of Hashem. V'am Kodesh, a holy nation. Ashekoach Chaim Adir Ayom V'nifla, in each and every Jew, and in the nation as a whole, he says there's a powerful and awesome, wondrous energy of holiness that's contained, that's held back within us over these years of galus. May roish mikedem, from the beginning of where we come from Avraham Avinu. Me'ascholas mitof matof, from the beginning of our, from the root of who we are. Rucha ha'chai v'ha'er ha'shoif l'tachlisa ha'merum ha'manizgav ha'misnase ad ein keitz ad hi marashol mi'avoseha avos ha'olam. We received as a Yerusha from our fathers and our mothers, from the Ovis and the Imos, we received the Yerusha, we received an inheritance of a tremendous, uncontrollable Sheifa, a yearning and a longing of what? To believe in Hashem. To give to the world. To create. That's something that we received as a Yerusha. Especially from Avraham Avinu, from the Ovis and from the Imos. So then, I cut out a little bit, and we go to the next column. Kol dichvin yesev yechel, kol ditzvich yesev yesev. Now we come to Pesach night. Remember, Pesach night is when we were freed. We were no longer slaves. It means it came after a long period of time. A long period of time. Where we were not able to give, because a slave is unable to give. When all we were doing was waiting there to get a piece of bread or a piece of matzah, and we were unable to give. That means that the healthy, natural instincts of the entire Jewish people, who are the most giving people on earth, the people who are the children of Avraham Avinu, who live in the way, who naturally live in a state of that springtime of giving to others, of producing like a tree that gives fruits, during the long years of slavery, all of that energy was held back. We were unable to give. So it comes to Pesach night. Who are we speaking to when we say, Kol Chamir, not Kol Chamir, when we say, Kol Dich V'Nyeseh, who are we talking to when we're inviting people? Who are we inviting? So Rav Kook's explanation is very, very deep and beautiful. He says, we're not inviting anybody in particular. It's an outburst. It's a scream that comes from the depths of the Jewish people and of each Jew, is that I want to give. I'm able to give. Tonight I have my chevra, I have my oilam. But I'm once again a free person. And being a free person, all of that energy that I had, as somebody who was once amazingly wealthy, amazingly rich, but for 210 years, as a people, we couldn't give. We were impoverished. We were eating halach ma'anya, lechem oni, a poor man's bread. And because of that, we became beneficiaries of miserable anti-Semites. And we had to receive, and we had to go begging to be able to get our food. All of a sudden, we're freed of that. It happened almost overnight. We became free. And that freedom would mean that now the unnatural, artificial obstruction that was holding back the healthy, natural instincts of Jewish giving and caring and sharing, all of a sudden that's released. And how is that expressed? It's not a specific invitation the night of Pesach. It's expressed through the outburst of kol dichvin, whoever there is, I want to give to everybody and anybody. So he explains, Hakava Yesodi, this is the Kava Yesodi, the basic thing that distinguishes between Yisrael Am, between a Jew and a Goy, between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. Hu Or HaChesed is the light of Chesed, the light of loving kindness. Remember they used to have, I don't know if they still have, but they used to have Jerry Lewis telethon. I don't know if he's still alive. He is. He's Jewish, I think. Yeah, so they had every year, he's still doing that? He must be already an older fellow. So they had, when we were kids, that we were watching the telethon. They used to have all the stars on us the whole night, the telethon. And they used to show the numbers. They would show the numbers, you know, and you have this and this and that. By the end of the night, you know, 1,343,000. By Jews, when it was the Yom Kippur War. So I remember reading about this. And we had also, in an Ashur, there was something. But I remember by reading about it in the newspaper, that in one of the Jewish papers, that they said that there was a situation that there were already at that time, unfortunately, tragically, there were quite a few of the soldiers who were no longer alive or were missing, and the wives and the children could not take care of their situation. And they called this out in a shul, and they make the whole telethon by Jerry Lewis, krechzing and kvetching, having to schlep out every dead movie star, you know, to bring out that he has to get up there and tell jokes, and you have to get Ethel Merman to sing a song or something, in order that someone should write a check for $40. They had in every shul in the poorest neighborhoods in 15 minutes. They had the whole telethon. You understand? Because it's the essence of a Jew, is to give, and that's why the Sfarim say that even though we once had greatness in learning Torah, which is Yaakov, when we had greatness in davening in Avaida, which is Yitzchak Avinu, and nowadays much has been lost in those two areas. But Mogen Avram, what we still have is the generosity of Klal Yisrael, Avram Avinu. That is the spark of Avram that Hashem guards with inside each and every one of us. That givingness of a Jew. And he says this is the main distinction between a Goy and a Jew. Hamavdo ben Yisrael Amam, who Ora Chesed, is the light of Avram Avinu, the light of giving, of Chesed. Which is the first light of Avram Avinu. The world was created. Behi Baram is what? The Avraham. Behi Baram is the Oisius Avraham. Because that's how Hashem created the world. Chesed. Shemenu Moifiyim Karnei Ora Rabim would pertain, from which there come out many, many rays of light that are broken down into little pieces of light by every single Jew to give and to do for others. That spread forth over all of life. L'samnam b'tzivyon miyuchad, a special character the Jewish life has, a character of giving. Hatzivyon v'asignon ha'ivri ha'miyuchad, a special Jewish way of giving, of being of chesed. Hamofia me'or teres chayim v'ahavis chesed. It comes from the teres chayim that we have, v'ahavis chesed. Olam ha'alilius, the world of idolatry, v'akfira, they only know of themselves. Look how unproportional. Our enemies say that our way of responding to terrorism is out of proportion. Now, our way of being kind is unproportional. But of course, that's never anything the United Nations will discuss. What happened in Haiti, and who were the first ones there, and who would ever do anything for Jews? And with the Ishmaelim with their billions and trillions of oil dollars, what did they do over there to help people? What did they do to help people? He says that Olam Ha'elili is the world of idolatry, of Avodah Zarah, Akfira, and heresy. Einam Yoidim Kimis Atzmam. They know themselves. And if they give, it's what can I get back? As Hanosim Hagasa Hachomris, their coarse physical needs and pleasures. Va'afilo Hanos Haruchniyos, and even the spiritual pleasures of the nations of the world, Rav Kook says, Hinem Rak Misharasim Lehem, is only what can they get out, is to get the pleasure of their Ruchniyos. What's most by them, the more that one can get for himself, and the more that his even his own spirituality serves his own personal needs, that's what's greatest by the nations of the world. But that's not the chelik of the Jewish people. Masha enkein chelik Yaakov. Ahavas hatoiv nevei etzleinu. The love of good comes from us, loy mishum inyan study, not for some other reason, for something that what they're going to think about us, what they're going to say about us. Elula etzem teva havayas nishmasenu, it comes from the essence of the Jewish soul. Hulach shoyt b'toyv eloki, is to long for godly toyv, for toyv eloki, hatoyv lakol. Therefore, he explains, Alkena hargosha apnimus avishonet tekev, kishayusa hakoyach amachriya shamaneas achayfesh, vizaskula atzimus losses lor. Therefore, the first moment that we're free people, the first moment that the artificial obstruction, because we were slaves, that's removed, which is Pesach, when that's removed, there rises up within the heart of each and every Jew that most uncontrollable, natural need to give, to do. And that's the inyan of kol dichvin. That's the inyan of halach ma'anya. All the Jew wants is to take away suffering and difficulties from other people, to help other people. I want to help everybody in the world. Anybody in the world. That's the natural instinct of a Jew. He's not going to send anybody away. He's going to give everybody in with a smile and in a pleasant and happy way. Go down to the bottom. He says, Zosi hanetiyah hativis liyisrael. This is the natural instinct of the Jewish people, of every Jew. She po'elis miyad ba'asaros koach halachatz. The second slavery was taken from us, the second we became free, the second the winter was over of not giving, of being held back, koach adonim zarim of strange masters, meaning slave owners, who were ruling over us, that was preventing us from following the natural flow of the essence of a Jew, which is what? Hatoiv apnimi, the inner kindness and goodness of a Jew. Dafka, because of that tension that came as a result of the hundreds of years of not giving, the giving is going to take place in a small, tiny little circle. Just of our basic needs or the basic needs of other people. There's now this unbelievable, powerful energy that is free. And let's go all the way to the bottom. All the way to the bottom, he says, just a few lines up from the end. Zosia ma'ile ha'al-yona mevies or ha'achtus ha'pnimi al-Yisrael. That from the very darkness of Golus comes the light of Geula. From the very darkness of Egypt comes the light of that chayus of being freed. And that's why the whole Seder is in a way of question. The question means the darkness. The answer means the light that comes dafka after not having. Holach mani is my ability to give after years of not being able to give. And the Geula is going to come. The redemption is going to come, as the Navi promises, the way that we left Egypt, they ran in the flows, that the wonders are going to be, but as the Swam tells, in a more intense and an even greater and more miraculous way than it was by Yitzhak Mitzrayim, because after all the long years of not being the Jews that we needed to be, after all the long years of not being able to give the way we need to give, not being able to daven, not being able to learn, not being able to be who we have to be, all those long years of holding back is only created in a mysterious way, in a hidden way, in each and every one of us, and in our nation as a whole, this uncontrollable desire to be Avdei Hashem and not to be Avdei Paro. She be zeichem Hashem to see the team of that haftacha, that promise, kimei tzei seinu, mei tzei seinu, erenu neflo, es begul Hashem, amitis, mei yamin, amin, amin.